This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
A lower U.S. corn yield estimate and a slightly higher than expected U.S. soybean yield estimate. That according to USDA's August WASDE report. Welcome into Market Talk. Thank you so much for joining us here today and making us part of your day once again. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Great to be here as we take a look at the markets and issues impacting rural America. Top of mind here is the August World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report, where we saw the USDA revise lower their estimated corn yield to 175.3 bushels per acre. It was close to expectations, but down from the July forecast of 177. They revised higher their forecast for soybean yield to 51.9 bushels per acre, which was above the trade expectations and above the July estimate of 51.1. So right there, a little bit of a surprise from USDA in their August report. We also saw, looking at the numbers here across the board, U.S. corn ending stocks for 22-23 were revised lower as expected. Soybean stocks were revised higher to a level above expectations, and wheat ending stocks were revised lower to a level below the average of pre-report estimates. Corn ending stocks fell to 1.388 billion bushels, down from 1.470 last month and below trade expectations of 1.402. The soybean ending stocks for the new crop came in at 245 million bushels. That was up from 230 million last month and also was above the trade estimate. On the wheat side, ending stocks fell to 610 million bushels. That was down from 639 million last month and below trade estimates at 650 million. Total wheat production came in at 1.783 billion bushels on the August report, up slightly from 1.781 billion last month. It was below trade estimates at 1.791 billion. Planted acreage came in at 89.8 million acres for corn, which was down slightly, while soybean planted acreage was also down slightly to 88 million acres. We got the resurvey of the Dakotas and Minnesota, but not as many changes there as some traders expected. On the global side, we did see that the global numbers had larger adjustments than were anticipated. USDA cut Europe's corn crop by 8 million metric tons to 60 million metric tons, with trade now anticipating more cuts to come. USDA did some catching up with Russia's wheat crop, pushing it to 88 million metric tons, up from 81.5 million metric tons previously. It raised exports by 2 to 42 million metric tons, but that may be difficult to achieve if we don't see the pace pick up significantly over the next 60 days. Overall, outside of some of the changes I highlighted, most of the numbers, it looked like they came in line with pre-report expectations. I talked with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, right after the release of the WASDE report on Friday, and I got Arlen's initial reactions to the report and some of the changes that he saw that were either a surprise or not a surprise. And we also talk about how the trade was looking at these numbers from USDA, but these USDA numbers were as of August 1st, and we've seen some deterioration in crop conditions since that point. So we talk about that as well and talk about maybe what we could see in the weeks ahead and with the September report. But again, here is that reaction with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, to Friday's August WASDE numbers.
I really wasn't too surprised by the numbers. We felt like the corn number would come down a little bit because the corn ratings on August 1st, which is what this report is as of, was just a little bit below normal. We've seen more deterioration since then, and I expect that'll be reflected in the September report. And I think the trade's going to expect small crops get smaller, although this isn't that much below trend at this point. The soybean yield going up a little bit here, again, not really a surprise. It could have gone either way, really, from that trend yield of 51.5 on August 1st. The crop ratings were really close to average for this time of year, so no real indication there. The surprises for me were more that we didn't cut more corn acres in the northern plains and northwestern Midwest on the resurvey of Minnesota and the Dakotas. I was looking for about a 450,000 acre cut in planted corn acres. We got a little over 100,000 acres cut, and we cut soybean acres as well.
Arlen, globally, I know we were watching some of the things there, especially over in Europe with all the heat and dryness they've seen. Did you see anything globally as you're looking at this report stand out to you today?
Yeah, one of the things I was watching for is what they would do with Europe, since Europe's had a tremendous drought this summer, plus they cut back on fertilizer usage as well. And our general expectations is that crop's going to be down 15 to 30% from the 68 million metric tons that USDA was forecasting last month. They came down 8 million metric tons to 60 million metric tons. And I think the assumption there was for USDA to be that aggressive in the month of August means that there's more losses to go. Some of the private estimates are ranging anywhere from 50 to 58 million metric tons for that crop. So I think we can anticipate that crop will get smaller, and that's eventually going to end up impacting what we see in the way of wheat feeding in Europe, as well as Europe's imports of corn and grain sorghum.
Now, Arlen, one has to wonder, you made a great point that this report is as of August 1st, and we look at the calendar now, and we've seen some of the crop ratings since and some of the pictures on social media. So one has to wonder, moving forward, you know, what we could see for changes maybe in the September report and beyond, depending on what the weather story is as we move forward.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we can anticipate, based on the current forecast, that the corn yields will continue to erode lower. I'm not looking for a major crop failure, but I think we'll probably erode lower. I think it's a little bit too early to say what we're going to see on soybeans. And I think this puts a focus on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour through the Midwest that starts the week of August 22nd. That'll be looked at to really confirm the corn and also give us some idea of what soybean pod counts are out there and give us an idea whether we need to adjust our expectations on that crop. European corn crop will be expected to get smaller. Then we're going to have to look. We did see Russia's wheat crop get revised upward over 88 million metric tons, up from 81.5 previously. And that's still below what local estimates are. But the real question is, what can they export? USDA has them at 42 million metric tons, but a lot of local sources think that's going to be very difficult to achieve this year with all the restrictions on Russia and all the quality problems with that crop since they had a lot of rain and harvest time. So I think those are the things I'm going to be looking for in the September report.
And once again, that is Thoughts and Analysis with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, recapping the August World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates numbers that were released on Friday. The trade overall, after the initial reaction that saw wheat and beans move lower, we kind of moderated as we went through the session on Friday. We are going to discuss the report, the market action for the day and the week in more detail. Coming up next with Ted Seifried of Zahner Ag Hedge. He will join us here as we continue on Market Talk. Coming up later in the show as well, we're going to also discuss the report numbers a little bit more, get another perspective with Mike Cruzy of Ag Consulting Group. So a jam-packed show coming your way here today on Market Talk. Stick around, we have more coming up. Again, Ted Seifried, Zahner Ag Hedge, he joins us next, back with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now to take a look at the market trade as we wrapped up the week, wrapped up Friday, and of course, wrapped up the August WASD numbers. We have Ted Seifried with us of Zahner Ag Hedge. He has joined the show here today. Ted, always great to catch up with you, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jesse. It's great to catch up with you too, man.
I appreciate the time on a busy report day joining us here to discuss. And, you know, overall, looking at everything, didn't feel like there was many surprises in the WASD, I guess, maybe starting with those yield estimates. I know that's kind of the headline sexy number, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. corn coming down, which was kind of expected, but soybean yield going up slightly. I think that caught some people off guard. What are your thoughts just overall with those top headline numbers we saw on Friday, Ted?
Yep. You know, there was really only – there was one analyst that was looking for soybean yield to go higher. And there he was. So, okay. But I think the trade, for the most part, realizes that these numbers were done a couple weeks ago. And things may have gotten a bit worse since then. And I think the general consensus is going to be this is probably the highest soybean yield we're going to see on a WASDE report. And, you know, it leaves us – first of all, it matches the previous record that we had in 2016 – I think if you look out there and, you know, pretty soon we'll have crop tours and things like that. I think we're going to say, okay, this doesn't look like 2016. So I don't know. At the end of the day, 245 million bushel carryover in soybeans isn't really that big. We had that knee-jerk reaction lower when the report came out, but then pretty quickly we were able to kind of shrug that off. And again, the trade calling BS on that yield number, I think. So the one thing that we did see also, along with that increase in production, as the USDA usually does, they find a way to add to demand, and they added to the export demand. For me, it's a little bit early for that. You know, although we started off with record new crop export sales back in January and February, it's really dried up. And yeah, okay, we've seen a trickle of it kind of coming in from China and unknown destinations in the past, 10 days or so. This is really the time of year that we would expect them to be buying some bigger amounts. And for me, to put the icing on the cake of this USDA report, if we start to see those sales come in, then I start to feel a little bit better about the demand numbers that the USDA has. Then I start cutting the yield down to, say, a 51 national average. And all of a sudden, now we are talking about a really rather tight carryover. So I think that's really what the trade started to figure out as time went by there on Friday. We still have weather, it's still a weather market. I guess if we come back in, Sunday night and we've got a ton more rain in that forecast, that might change things. But, the knee-jerk reaction pretty quickly, well, that's what it was, a knee-jerk reaction. We pretty quickly moved past that and start looking forward again. And I think looking forward, we have a bit of a bullish scenario for soybeans in the near term, at least.
Well, and I like how you said, we kind of, calling BS, and I think the trade kind of calling the bluff of some of these numbers that came out from USDA, just because you made a great point. These were numbers as of a few weeks ago, August 1st. I mean, we've seen more deterioration, especially the Western Corn Belt. I know some areas, that have drought increasing, Northwest Iowa and Southeast South Dakota, Northeast Nebraska. That's a hot spot that I can think of off the top of my head. So, we look at things as they stand now. And as you said, now that we got the numbers here, we've digested them. The trade has gone, okay, here's what USDA says. But now it feels like it's going to go back to weather. And that's kind of, we usually deal with in summertime is a weather market, Ted.
Yep. And you got some 100 plus degree temperatures out in the Western Corn Belt in the plains. That's a concern. So again, what's the forecast look like on Sunday night? That's what we always want to know. And that's what we'll trade for next week. A lot of times we say this August report sets the tone for the remainder of the growing season. Well, I think the tone, it's been set, but it's pretty similar to the tone that we had going into the report, right? So we'll see. As far as the corn market was concerned, they kind of ripped the Band-Aid off on yield. 175.4 came in below expectations. My concern going into this report was that they would do just that, but then they would also come and really get aggressive on cutting demand and leave us with a carryover number pretty similar to what we saw last month. And if that would happen, it takes a lot of the steam out of the bull stales, because you say, okay, well, we just saw yield drop pretty dramatically, yet the carryover is not really going down. That didn't happen. They did cut demand, but not aggressively. They cut 25 million bushel in feed and residual. By the way, FSI, they added 5 million, so okay. And they cut 25 million in exports. I worry that longer term, that isn't enough of a cut in exports, but we'll see. We have a lot of time to prove that out. Just like soybeans, this is the time you really want to see some of these bigger corn export sales, and hopefully that's coming. But either way, it's not a significant drop in demand, at least not at this point. And now you're looking at a sub 1.4 billion bushel carryover, which historically you can say, okay, that's not terribly tight, But in these days of this massive demand, I mean, stocks of usage is really on the historically low end of the spectrum. So I'd say it justifies corn prices kind of where they're at, maybe a little bit higher. I'm not going to say that this balance sheet is a 750 plus new crop corn balance sheet, but it could get there. You know, if you continue to cut off that yield, and if that demand's actually there, maybe we are talking those sorts of numbers. But at least for the time being, I feel like corn is fairly adequately priced, and it's a weather market. So if we're continuing to be concerned about weather, we'll add weather premium, and there's more upside potential. One of the interesting things that I saw on the corn side of things is in the world numbers, we raised the Ukraine 5 million metric tons.
Interesting.
Okay. Okay. Who's over in Ukraine? I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't think anybody knows. And I don't know how they had enough justification to do that. But even with that, you know, the lower Europe crop, which again, a lot of people would argue that number still has to come down more. 8 million metric tons isn't enough. And it's not reflective of what the Europeans are saying about their own crop. And because of our lower crop, you still have a lower and actually even lower than expected world carryover for corn. So that's kind of helping with the bullishness.
Ted, on the global side as well, wheat, I know Russian crop went up. We look at wheat here and look at total wheat production. I think that number was 1.783 billion bushels in the August report. Just looking at the wheat markets, though, again, it was kind of the same story. We had the initial reaction. We were lower going into the report, and we kind of firmed up a little bit. What do you make of wheat after seeing the WASDE numbers and moving through Friday's trade?
Yeah, Jesse, wheat is going to wheat. It does the wheat things. You know, we were down 17 going into the report. The report came out, we rallied 10 cents pretty quickly, and then we give it back, we were down 17. But then when the row crops started coming back and corn found some strength, then wheat was able to kind of come up. The wheat report, it was actually kind of a friendly report for our domestic carryover. It came in well below expectations, really. So that's great. But from a world standpoint, that Russian number going up, you know, Russia, the numbers they've been giving us have been, you know, quite a bit higher. And so we're sitting here thinking, okay, how is that happening? Is this because you're including the parts of the Ukraine that you've invaded and taken over? But then the USDA leaves the Ukraine wheat number unchanged. So I don't know. I really don't know what to make of any of these changes that we've seen in Ukrainian corn or Russian wheat. We know that Russia has a pretty stellar wheat crop. So maybe that's just on their original area, an 8 million metric ton increase. That's pretty sizable. It's 10%, really. So maybe. But either way, the domestic balance sheet for wheat was a little bit better than expected. And, you know, even the world numbers, despite all that, aren't really that bearish. So, yeah, I'm hopeful we can find some footing. And a broader picture, Jesse, you've got a really nice rounding bottom trying to occur in the wheat right now. I think when Russia invaded Ukraine, we went higher than we fundamentally should have, mainly because that was a short squeeze. That wasn't a fundamental thing. There was a fundamental trigger. But the amount of strength that we saw was all based on a short squeeze. But then now I think we've really overextended the downside. So I think there's a happy medium in here somewhere. I think December Chicago wheat should be north of 950 to somewhere between 950 and 1050 is really where I kind of see it going. As long as row crops don't fall apart, as long as we don't have some major global economic recession or some major new conflict popping up in Taiwan, things like that. But no, I think wheat should be in store for a halfway decent recovery. And again, partially based on the better than expected domestic carryover.
And again, that is Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge, our guest today here on Market Talk. Coming up, we're going to have more with Ted. We're going to discuss some risk management strategies and much more on the way. A few closing numbers. September quarter up 10.5, 639 at three quarters. December quarter up 14.5 at 642 and a quarter on Friday. September beans up 14 at three quarters, 1535. November up 5 at three quarters, 1454 and a quarter. Bean meal up moderately. Bean oil up slightly. Chicago wheat September down 4 at three quarters at 806. KC wheat September unchanged, 889 at a quarter. September spring wheat that was down to 6 at three quarters at 915. We'll be back with Ted Seifert of Zahner Ag Hedge on the way right after this here on Market Talk.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Great to have you with us once again. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for joining us. Ted Seifert of Zahner Ag Hedge is our guest today. We're going to get back to our conversation with Ted in just a minute. I want to look at the livestock closes from Friday's trade. August live cattle down 37, 140.22. October down 60, 144.50. December lives down 45, 150.62. Feeder cattle for August down 32, 179.62. September down 122, 183.37. August hogs going off the board down 67, 121.72. October down 105 at 100.02. And December down 25, 90.37. So still a pretty big spread there between August and October. August a little bit more in line with the cash index. So I think that'll be something to watch coming up. We're going to discuss livestock here with Ted in just a few minutes. Let's get back to that conversation right now, though. Ted Seifert, Zahner Ag Hedge, he is our guest today on Market Talk. Ted, I want to shift the discussion a little bit to risk management, just with the grains and oil seeds kind of overall. I feel like, you know, there's not really a blanket approach to anything. It almost feels like it's going to come down to, you know, looking to see what you got in your backyard, what's in your field at this point to some degree, just because, you know, you look at where things stand on the board. I mean, still good prices holding in here to wrap up the week. So, I mean, talk to me about risk management. I know there's so many different tools and that you can use in the toolbox, but what are some of your general thoughts as we work through into the back half of August here?
Yep. So I have a bit of a different approach to risk management this year than I did last year. Last year, the mantra was, you know, make the cash sales to manage your risk, and then let's go in and re-own those bushels, because there is a whole lot of upside potential, this inflationary undercurrent. You know, there's a good chance to go higher and you don't want to miss out on it. I don't know if I feel really the same way. We're seeing inflation simmer down, at least. And usually when you get inflation upwards of 10% or so, it doesn't end well. You know, inflationary bubble burst, right? And so I feel like this year there's a whole lot more risk to the downside than there was this time last year. So I really like the idea of, one, making cash sales, but also, you know, a lot of guys out there aren't exactly sure what they're going to have because of weather. And I'm looking at you, Western Corn Belt. So owning puts is really not maybe a bad thing. And, you know, the idea of a price window where you're buying a put and then you're selling a call to pay for that. And the calls right now, it's not as much as it was, but you still have the premium skewed towards the calls, and you're able to sell a call that's farther away from the market than the put that you're buying. So I think it's a good strategy to be using. Now, the thing is, you got to be mindful of that outright short call. You got to be prepared and have a plan to cover that up if we just are going to the moon, right? So it's a risk management strategy that needs management, so to speak. But for the guys in the East, the guys that feel like, hey, I've got a pretty decent crop here, I think you can do something similar to what we were doing last year, where you are making those cash sales. And if you want to, I'm not twisting people's arm as much as I was last year, but if you want to re-own the upside, that opportunity is there for you as well.
Ted, you brought up inflation. I want to move the discussion there just a little bit. We saw those moderating numbers here this past week, CPI, PPI. Your general thoughts after seeing those numbers, anything stand out to you there that really we need to focus on moving forward?
I think those numbers will continue to come down, Jesse. You know, we're not stimulating the economy anymore. That was the big driver of the inflation. It was an artificially created inflationary bubble. So because of that, I don't think it burst quite as badly because of banks not having as much exposure to cryptocurrency, for example, as they did the housing market back in 2008. I don't think this is a 2008 type event, but who knows? You never know how the dominoes fall when things start happening. That being said, I do think inflation is going to continue to abate. you look at CPI, PPI, those are kind of lagging indicators. I think we're already seeing that happening. And also, you know, one, we're not stimulating the economy. Two, we're raising rates. And three, you look at Groupon. There's a lot of these companies now starting to lay off a portion of their workforce. Peloton was the one on Friday that was the new one. So, you know, we'd been talking about jobs growth and adding jobs to the economy, but now we're starting to see that swing the other way. And that's a deflationary move. I think inflation continues to come down. So, like I said, you don't have that inflationary undercurrent that's boosting commodities as a whole. And when you take that away, even though you have some fairly friendly balance sheets, Jesse, you also have to say, you know, you can only go for a certain amount of time up at these really historically high prices before you do start to create demand destruction. And if you take inflation away, that's the biggest thing that will help accelerate that demand destruction. So, you know, when I look at these balance sheets and I look at the demand that we have scheduled for the entirety of the new crop here, which we haven't even begun yet, you worry that maybe some of those numbers are suspect. I don't think the USDA is justified, or even I'm not justified to really go in and slash those numbers just yet. But that's something that I'm prepared to do. And if I continue to see inflation coming down and the CPI and PPI numbers continue to come down, which again, I think they will, then I am going to have to start taking a harder look at some of those demand numbers. Initially, though, you know, the market's reaction, both, you know, in stocks and commodities, was friendly to lower CPI and PPI numbers, because the idea is that, okay, maybe people will feel more comfortable going out and spending again. But realistically, no, inflationary numbers coming down isn't necessarily a bullish thing for commodities.
Ted, how about your old buddy, the crude oil market? You and I, since the last time we talked, we've seen a decent amount come off of this crude oil market. So what are your thoughts there and with energies as a whole?
Yeah, I've been pretty vocally short the crude oil market for some time. But we are also finding the 200-day moving average, and we have tried to get through it four or five times and not been really successful doing so. So we kind of figured we'd see a little bit of a bounce. I got out of a lot of short positions earlier in the week. We had a little bit of bounce, but then today, Friday, is not a really good follow-up to that. So, you know, a bit more of a risk-off day again on Friday. To crude to me, fundamentally, you know, you can really, the bullish story is really still there for crude. But then you look at the price action, you look at the charts, you talk about inflation coming down, you talk about, you know, people getting laid off, you talk about raising interest rates, and you worry that demand destruction accelerates fall into winter. And you look at crack spreads, the margins, the profit margins these refiners are getting, they've been coming down pretty dramatically too. So that's kind of telling you that, you know, even though we're pretty much exhausting our strategic oil reserves, and there's really not much more to fall back on, and that at some point we should start building that up again, and so on and so forth, price action and profit margins kind of tell you that there might still be more downside potential. Again, fall into winter. But longer term, I don't see a collapse coming in the crude oil market. I think, you know, one point I was talking about $54 is my target. Now I'm starting to feel that might be a little bit too low. And that was for December crude oil, by the way, which it wasn't at the higher levels like September was anyways. I do think that we are sort of in, I think this whole economic slowdown, for the last couple of weeks, we've been sort of feeling warm and fuzzy, like, oh, recession's over. I think that comes back fall into winter. And I think a lot of these things have some downside potential. But like I said, I don't feel like this is a 2008 type scenario. At least that's not how I'm feeling at the moment. Again, you never know how the dominoes fall. But I don't really see that at the moment. But I do think you're going to have some cooling overall in a lot of these commodities. We've seen the start to that. And then we've kind of felt better about it for the last few weeks. But I think this macroeconomic selling is going to come in. It's going to be in play at some point again between now and the end of the calendar. You're probably September, October timeframe.
Mm-hmm. Very true. Ted, we got a couple minutes. I don't want to forget about our livestock guys and gals. Felt like kind of a choppy lower day in livestock on Friday, but overall we saw a good cash trade in cattle country. And then on the hog side, that August contract going off the board on Friday at a premium to that October contract. So any thoughts of the protein sector as a whole as we wrap up the week, Ted?
Yeah, you know, for hogs, we're down just a little bit, just kind of pulling back off that new recent high. I think it's just a little bit of a correction in nature. As far as cattle are concerned, higher cash. That's good. You know, and that's generally, I mean, obviously that's a pull effect on the market. The thing I'm worried about a little bit though is box beef prices have kind of simmered a little bit. So you wonder if we're going to continue to see those higher cash prices as we put a little bit of stress on Packers margins. So I am kind of talking with producers about doing some sort of limited risk management, you know, buying puts, for example, having some downside potential, but not terribly aggressive. Because again, you know, talking about economy, talking about things like that, you worry that maybe domestic demand does simmer as we get out of the grilling season and, you know, the summer of love, everybody trying to get back to feeling normal again and whatever. We've had our fun, right? So into the fall, things I do worry could slow down a little bit. So that is a concern of mine. But in the near term, aside from corn prices reversing and going higher and putting pressure on the feeder cattle, I'd like to say I think there is some more upside potential in cattle. Again, I still think we have a period of time where domestic demand will stay relatively strong. But I do worry about, again, what happens fall into winter.
Well, Ted, fantastic as always. We're up against the clock, but I know if folks want to reach out to you and get some advice there with Zahner Ag Hedge, they could do that very easily. How can they reach you, Ted?
Yeah, you can reach me directly at 312-277-0113. Aside from that, you can find us on the web at www.zahner.com. You can read a bit about us. You can also sign up for our morning Ag Hedge newsletter. And also, you can find me on Twitter at the Ted Spread.
Ted, always a pleasure, buddy. Thank you for the great thoughts and analysis today. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
Thanks, Jesse. You have a great weekend, too. Talk to you soon, buddy.
And again, that is Ted Seifert with Zahner Ag Hedge joining us today. Great stuff there from Ted, as always, looking at the August WASD report and the trade reaction on Friday. Again, after the initial kind of knee-jerk reaction to the downside, grains ended up firming and finishing higher, and the livestock trade finished a little bit lower on the day. We're going to continue our analysis of the WASD and look at the markets as a whole. Mike Cruzy of Ag Consulting Group joins us next as we continue with more Markets Are right after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. Now, back to Market Talk with Jesse Allen.
And joining us now, Mike Cruzy with Ag Consulting Group is on the show today. Mike, great to have you on with us. How are you, sir?
Good. Thanks, Jesse.
Appreciate the time, Mike. Thanks for joining us here today. Let's talk markets. And I think top of mind, of course, Friday's August WASD report. You know, looking at the numbers, felt like everything was pretty much in line with what the trade expected outside of a few things. USDA raising the soybean estimate slightly, 51.9. Corn yield coming down, 175.3. Overall, you think about what you saw on Friday with the report. Did anything really surprise you, Mike?
No, we had average trade estimates. Let's talk about corn yield first. 177 was the July number. Historically, on the August report, the USDA doesn't like to make any significant changes because they really haven't done any surveys. It's pretty early yet. And so they hate to overreact and then have to correct themselves in September. So, you know, I think some of the bulls were hoping for more of a reduction. You know, you heard private estimates out there anywhere from 165 on the bottom end up to 178 or 9. And you know, some of those estimates might be where they think the yield will end up in the fall, maybe not necessarily where this report came out with. So, you know, they lowered it down to 175.4, so about a bushel and a half. I think there's quite a few in the industry that think it's a little lower than that. You know, I live out in the West, and it's kind of the tug of war between us and the East on how the crop looks. And, you know, we do have irrigation, but it's not all irrigated out here. And the crop really has started to set back, it seems like, more the end of this week. I think there was still hope that rain chances could happen a week ago or help. But we're getting to the point now, by the time you get to Sunday, not sure they'll help in a lot of different fields. I think still do some good in the soybeans. So on the corn number, bushel and a half. I think, like I said, people were thinking two or three that it might go lower, but that seems like an okay number there for me. Beans, probably a little surprised that they raised the yield. They went from 51 to 51.9. You know, beans are interesting. You can step on them and kick them and move them around, and they still find a way to yield. I think we're doing a lot of work, you know, in some of these drier areas where you've got pod fills out there. You would think now is a pretty crucial time, but again, there's been areas that have caught pretty good rains that are going to finish beans up pretty good. I think one of the things that we were concerned about was the taking a look at the acres. And they've thrown curveballs like that before where, you lower the yield 2 or 3 bushel, and then you increase the planted acres, and then the number stays the same at the bottom. But, you know, both of those actually went down just a little, not much, but kept them flat anyway. So the fear of them raising or finding 500,000 acres or 600 or 700 didn't appear like it happened on this report.
And it felt just like the report overall, you look at the global numbers, I know there was a few changes there in Europe, et cetera, but overall, you kind of mentioned this, you know, some of the bulls were looking for a really bullish number, some of the bears were wondering what's going to happen. It just felt kind of neutral overall when you really kind of put everything together and kind of got the lump sum. At least that was my general thought. Was that yours?
Yeah, I would agree. You know, we've had a pretty decent week of trade this week with corn and beans both being up. So you could argue how much of this was already priced in, especially on the corn with them lowering the yield. And then when beans actually raise their yield and they've been up on the week, then there's probably a little room to take something off. Now, as we talk here, an hour into the since the report's been released, beans and corn have kind of rebounded nicely from where their immediate reaction was after the report.
Well, Mike, thinking about moving forward here the back half of the month, you know, one thing that I keep reminding folks and we have to keep in mind as well is that, you know, these USDA numbers were as of August 1st and they didn't have boots on the ground yet. We'll see that more as we get into September, October, et cetera. But just thinking about where prices stand right now, and if I'm a producer, if I didn't have any coverage going into the report and maybe I'm looking to make some sales, let's talk risk management. What are some thoughts you have as we head into the back half of August here and we may be seeing some more crop deterioration since USDA took these numbers? I mean, what's some thoughts with some risk management strategy right now?
I think most of the producers are going to have to look at what their own fields look like. You know, individually out east, if you feel like you've got a pretty good crop coming on, I'm not a very good seller on the way down, but it's still a pretty profitable number. I know when I look at new crop today, it's 6.25. Yes, it got as high as 760, 770, but 6.25 is still a pretty good number. I mean, $6 cash corn, depending on where basis is at. I think basis is going to be good next year. I think you got to look at rewarding a little bit. I mean, I still go back to the calendar working against us. You know, we are coming up on the middle of August, and historically, when you look at the seasonal charts, and I don't know what normal is anymore, but historically, you get into August, you've got some risk premium taken out. Pretty soon, the weather is not going to matter, the forecast. I mean, we watch that for about 60 days, and pretty soon, the weather forecast is going to be what it's going to be. So I, even though we are not where we were, but if you happen to be in an area fortunate enough that caught a rain shower and feel a little bit better about your yields now, I think I would put, there's various ways. You could go out, just make cash sale. You could do a no base established or hedge to arrive with your end user and lock in that futures and then maybe lock in basis. Or there are some minimum price strategies out there where you could do what's called a min max. You buy a put that gives you a floor and then sell a call over the top. So you have a window or range there. If you're still bullish and the market runs higher, you're still in the game. But if something changes, if this yield comes out a little higher, black swan event, you got China, Taiwan, a lot of outside stuff going on, you can put in a floor around $6 with some upside. Probably help you sleep a little better at night for that whatever event pops up that we don't have on the radar today.
Well, Mike, fantastic stuff. Great analysis. And I know you and the team there at ACG Ag Consulting Group, you guys got a lot of great folks there, a lot of great insight. And I know if producers need a little advice, I'm sure they could reach out to you guys online or give you a phone call, couldn't they?
Yeah, that would be great. If you're interested at all, Ag Consulting Group, we're located in Kearney, Nebraska and Princeton, Illinois. And if you have any interest in visiting further about any marketing, contact us at 402-750-5260.
And I know as well, those numbers are online, youracg.net for Ag Consulting Group. With that, Mike Cruzy, appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us on Market Talk, sir. We'll have to get you back on again real soon.
Okay. Thanks, Jesse.
And that's all the time we have for Market Talk today. Thanks for joining us. Coming up on our next episode, we're going to talk to Ed Ussett of the University of Minnesota, Eric Snodgrass with weather, and John Heimberg of Total Farm Marketing. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, wishing you and yours a great rest of your day.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. you can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.